Okay, so we're continuing on, where are we? Chof Daled Amud Beis. In Sanhedrin. Alright, let's see if we can get through this quickly. Alright, so we ended off last time. We were on the question of Mochol Lecha or Etein Lecha. So the Gemara said, the Gemara was trying to prove... Mochol Lecha, because of the case of Shua, because mostly a Shua is a case where you take the Shua and don't pay. So then that would be, so if a person would accept your Shua if a person would accept your word in place of your Shua to not pay, that's a case of Mechila. That would have to be the plaintiff saying, if you give me your word, then I won't take your money. So that's a Mochol Lecha case. So the Gemara wanted to say, you see from this, that that Rabbi Meir even argues on Mochol Lecha. Right? So that's the question. If Rabbi Meir agrees on Mochol Lecha. So the Gemara says, no, that's a case of a Nishba V'Notel. There are certain Shuas where the person takes the Shua and then takes the money. He makes the shua and he takes the money. So then that would have to be a case of the defendant giving the plaintiff the right to take a shua and extract money from him. Right? As a nishba v'notel. And then you can learn the Mishnah is only talking about that case, and that's where Rabbi Meir disagrees, but he would agree if it was a case of mechila. Okay, right. Okay, so then the Gemara says, the only problem now is that you have two of the same cases. Now you have two of the same cases, because the Reisha you're learning as a case of Etein Lecha, where the, right, we're learning the Machlokas as an Etein Lecha. Right, so Al-Pisvar, what we say the Machlokas Etein Lecha means to say, can you make the Psak Din a real Maisa of Kinyan, a real Hakna of Mammon. So if you're going to learn the Reisha is a case of Etein Lecha, and that's where they're arguing, and now you're going to take the Seifa and say that's also a case of Etein Lecha, and they're arguing. So what do you need two Etein Lechas for? What do you need two cases of Etein Lecha for? So the Gemara says, no, they're different. Why? Because in the first case, he's told of Bidas Acherim. Right? He's told of Bidas Acherim. So maybe when he's told of Bidas Acherim, that's when Rabbi Meir says he's Lo Gomer HaMakni. Because who knows what the guy's going to do? Maybe the guy will say he's right. Maybe the guy will vindicate him. Mm-hmm. But the second case is Tola Bidas Atzmo. Not literally Tola Bidas Atzmo, right? It's because it's his adversary. He's giving his adversary the right. But it's certain that the adversary is going to take the deal. Right? So then I would say maybe the mayor would agree to the Rabbanan. Alright, so let's just cut through the complications. What's the bottom line here? This is a slightly different issue. Okay, this is really more like the issue we're going to get into in the next Mishnah. That it's a question of how seriously is the person taking the risk? How seriously is he really, is he fully aware and accepting the outcome? Or the possible outcome? So maybe you'll say like this, that, look, if I tell you like this, what's the case? Say I'm the toveya and you're the nitba, right? Let's say that's the case. I say you owe me $100. Good. And then the dayan says, okay, so you take a shua. And if you take the shua, then you can collect the $100, right? Mm-hmm. And you, in your generosity, say to me, "Oh, you don't need to take a shua deraisa. Just give me scout's honor that it's true, and I'll let you have it. Okay? So you're allowing me, you're giving me the right of etein lecha by another method other than shua, which is a concession to me. Now, do you think I'm not going to take the deal? Do you think I'm not going to take that deal? Do you have any doubt in your mind that I'm not going to take the easier shua? Yeah. No. 100%. You know 100% certainty that when you offer me this deal, I am definitely going to take it. And basically, we can't say that you're making any mistake in your... We can't say you're banking on anything. Can't say, oh, you just said it because you hoped you would bluff. And when I offered you that great deal, you're going to fold and say, you're right, I didn't know you. That's ridiculous. It's obvious that when you offer me the deal to take the reduced shua, I'm rather going to take it. So that's what Rashi says, that if he's told a bedas atzmo shel baldin, asaka daite, devadai nodale, lihi poter, viyoda umochil. That's a clear case of yedia. This is no doubt. Basically, I am completely accepting the mechila. Because I'm giving you, on a silver platter, a method to be poter. So in that situation, maybe you would say that even Reb Meir would be Moda. Okay. But in the Reisha, what are we saying? In the Reisha, what are we saying? This is all Mocha Lecha, right? This is Etim Lecha. In the Reisha, right, I shouldn't have used the word Mechila, right? I'm sorry. Right?
I'm pretty confused.
Okay, one more time. We're sort of dealing with a different issue here. We're dealing with an issue of, can we say that they seriously meant what they said? You understand? There's two issues over here. One issue is, is this type of a deal available? Is it possible for us ahead of time to say that the outcome of the Beis Din will be a kinyan, or the outcome of the Beis Din will be our Gemir's Das? Can we construct this? You know, there's two questions. You have to logically separate these two questions. One question is, can you do certain things? Are certain things possible? Okay, can we get together and say, we're not going to go to a real Beis Din? I'm going to accept your father as our dayan. And is it possible to really create such a thing and be bound by it? That's one question. Okay. So that's what we discussed last week. What would that mean to be bound to such a thing? Let's just remember where we are now. So now we're discussing which side of which position. Now we're saying that that by Mechila everybody agrees, right? That's what I'm doing. I guess it doesn't really, that by Mechila everybody would agree is good, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's basically we can define our Gemir's Das, right? We had last week, right? So last week saying that I can define my Gemir's Das. So that means to say that I decide that when I when I say to you, if your father says you don't owe me any money, so then it's going to be yours. Why? Because the Gemir's Das is there, and you already have it in your hands, right? Everybody agrees to that. But there's a machlokas if I say, can I be bound if your father says I owe you the money? Why? Because if it's just an Indian of Gemir's Das, so it's very nice that was the Gemir's Das, but I never made the transfer, so I'm not bound to make the transfer. But if you say, Etin Lecha is also Enoch Yachol Achzor Bo, then that means say we can even define ahead of time what the kinyan of what the Shini Rishus is going to be based on. It's going to be not based on a Maisa of Mesira, but that din will actually effectuate the change of ownership. That was the machlokas that we were discussing last week. Yochanan, Shmuel, and Rava, there are three different positions on that. But that's all one kind of a question. That's a question of what is possible. What's Efshar? Right? What's possible? But we all know that just because something is possible doesn't mean that you necessarily are doing it. Right? A lot of things are possible that we're not doing. So there's another question. The question is, even though it's possible, but how do we know that you're really, how can we say that you really are engaging in what's possible? How do we know when you really, how can we say you really are choosing that? In other words, there's a possible type of a thing. There is such a thing as signing up for his father being my dying. And that's doable. It is a doable thing. But when do we believe you that that's what you're really doing? When do we trust that what you say you're doing, you really mean? That's a separate question, right? I can give you, that's what the next sugya really gets into more. But, so the Gemara over here is saying, I'll give you an example. Let's say I say to you, I will go to your father as a dayan. Right? I'll go to your father as a dayan. And if he says I owe you the $10,000, I'll pay you. Right? That's a deal. I agree. And then we go to your father and he says I owe you the $10,000. There's a tzad to say in the Gemara that I wouldn't be chayav. Why? Not because there's no such thing as the idea that a kinyan that we can make your father's psak a kinyan. That's a possible idea. But we say, look, your mindset wasn't serious when you agreed to it. Why? Because in your mind, you really thought that you would win, and you were sort of like saying, I'm pretty sure, I'm really certain I'm going to win, so I might as well go along with this little charade. But I'm not really accepting it seriously. I'm lacking in the Gemira's Das to really sign up for it. It's not that there's no such thing as agreeing to something to become the Kenyan. That was the first issue. Is there such a thing as that? It's more of a secondary question. That if a person thinks in his mind that it's not going to come to be, do we say therefore he didn't really agree to it? Okay, not to mix sugyas too much, but that's exactly like the kind of question that comes up in the next Mishnah in the gambling situation, yeah. Right, where a person says if this happens, I'll if I win the race. If you win this race, you'll get I'll give you $10,000. So we say, well, in the guy's mind, he's really. Why is he betting that? Is he betting that because he thinks he's going to lose, or is he betting because he thinks he's going to win? Right? Betting because he thinks he's going to win. So he doesn't really think he's going to lose. So maybe he doesn't, that's not considered a real Gemir's Das to pay the $10,000 if he loses, because he doesn't really think that's a possibility. Yeah. It's a different kind of a question. It's a question of, do we say he sort of went in this with his eyes wide open, fully aware of all the possibilities, or is he being sort of myopic over here and only counting on one outcome? So sort of like lacking really in what he's, in his very act of commitment. He sort of like thinks, whatever, for whatever reason, he thinks that your father likes him better, whatever the reason is, he sort of feels that he's going to be able to do it. So that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that's the difference between the Reisha. That's why you need the Reisha and the Sefer. Because the Reisha, maybe you'll say that Rebbe Meir holds that you can back out because he never really committed, since it's Tola B'das Acherim. So he thinks your father will favor him. Right? Mi Yemar de Mizakile. Vi'i Havi Yoda de Mizakile Lo Hav Omar. He's saying, look, I'll go with you to your father because I don't really think he's going to acquit you. That's basically what he's saying. Sort of like a bluster. Sort of a, what's the term for that? It's like a guzma, He thinks it's, he doesn't really think it's going to happen. So maybe that's why Rebbe Meir says it's not binding. But if I offer you a shvur to take money from me, there's no way I don't think you're going to take that shvur. Right? So if I only had the first case, I would say when it's tola bedas acherim, it's not good because I don't think it's going to happen and I'm really lacking in committing to the deal in the first place. That's not really called committing to the deal. If in my mind, I don't think it's ever really going to happen. But if I say, if you take the shvua, I'll give you the money, then we would say Rebbe Meir would agree. In other words, the point is, the question is, what's Rebbe Meir's real issue over here? Is his issue that the thing doesn't exist, that there's no such thing as committing, there's no such thing to commit to? There's no such thing as a Gemir's Das to make this guy's Psak or your Shua into a real halachic kinyan that transfers Mamanus? Is that Reb Meir's real problem? Then it would never work, no matter what, because there's just nothing to agree to. Or does he really hold this something to agree to? But his problem is, how do we know you definitely meant it when you agreed to it? You know what I'm saying? So that's what the Gemara says. That's why you need the Reisha and the Sefer. You need the Reisha to prove. You need the Sefer to show that even when I know for sure that you're going to do it, and there's no way to say that in my mind I thought you would not take the Shua, I knew 100% you're going to take that Shua and demand the money from me. So if we see that Rebbe Meir says you're putter, that you're Yochel Lachzabo, even in that case, it's not a problem of committing. It's not a problem that we don't know if the guy meant it seriously. We know he meant it seriously, because there's only one outcome that was possible out of this deal. Since there's only one outcome, he definitely meant it. It's not like he was thinking you wouldn't take the shrua. So then, since Rebbe Meir still says you're patur l'shalem, it must be because he just doesn't hold that there's such a thing to commit to in the first place. He doesn't hold there's such a thing as making a certain maisa, just deciding that that's going to be the kinyan. There's no reality to it. You understand? There's a difference between is something possible and saying it's the difference between saying something doesn't exist and saying that how do we believe that you really meant to engage that entity.
It's like all the other cases. Like guy says, there's such a thing as being mochel to owing somebody money, but then there's the question of, do we know, can we say the guy was serious when he did it? Right, like the example I gave you the other day. Of course, there is such a thing as going in front of a basement and admitting that I owe somebody money. There's no doubt that that's a thing. But if I see you in the street and you say you owe me the money and I say, yeah, I owe you the money, we say you weren't serious about that admission. Mm-hmm. So sometimes there's a deficit. Whereas if I say to you, I promise I owe you, 10,000 unicorns. I'm going to be machna to you all of my unicorns. That's just not a thing. There's a difference between saying that there's something doesn't exist. There's a difference between saying that you're lacking in the very thing. Or let's say kinyan devarim, the Gemara says, right? Kinyan devarim, as we're doing on Friday. Kinyan devarim is not a kinyan. So if I go to Avi and I say, I am going to make a kinyan with you that we're going to play basketball today at 3 o'clock. We can make the biggest kinyan in the world. We can make a shtar. We can do everything we want. There's just nothing to that. There's no such thing as that. It's just not a thing that's subject to kinyan. I can't be machna to him my basketball playing at 3 o'clock. It's just not a thing that's transferable.
Yeah.
No matter how good it is, right?
Yeah.
No matter how no matter what, it's just not a thing. So there's a difference between saying sometimes the deal doesn't hold up because there's just nothing to agree to. Sometimes the deal doesn't hold up because I can't say that you seriously agreed to it. You understand? So that's the Gemara's question over here. Is Rebbe Meir saying that it's not a kinyan, it's not a deal at all, because it's like
it's like a kinyan I'm playing basketball at 3 o'clock. It's just not a thing, right? Or is his problem that it's like the guy says Mashat Anibach, I was just trying to get you off my back. I don't really believe it. I didn't really mean it when I said it. Right? So that's what the Gemara says. You need the Reisha and the Seifa. If I just had the Reisha, then I might say it's because he thinks he's going to win, so he's not really committed. But once I have the Seifa, now I know for sure it's a problem that it just doesn't exist. Because you can't say the guy didn't mean it when he said, if you take the lower Shvuah, I'll give you the money. Of course he meant it. So it must be because it doesn't exist. It must be like the basketball case. So then why couldn't you just have the second case? Because of the Rabbana. Okay. Okay, next issue is like this. Amar Reish Lakish. So is it funny, right? Did anybody think it was funny in the last sugya? They get Rabbi Yochanan, you didn't have Reish Lakish? So the answer is Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish says, Machlokis lifnei gemar din. Avalachar gemar din, devir kol ein yochol lachzerbo. So what does that mean? Let's get this straight. The machlokas between Reb Meir and the Chachamim about Yochol Lachzor or any Yochol Lachzor is only before the Gemar Din. What's the Gemar Din mean? The Psak, right? You owe him, you don't owe him, whatever it is. But before the Gemar Din, Rashi says, La'achar she'ta'anu bifneihem, even though they gave the Taina. Right, even though the case was going, the Kodin Gemar Din Bozer Lachzor. Then he's saying that what? Then there's the Machlokas, right? That's what you're talking
about. It's like after everyone gives their 2 cents, and then the Dayanim are
right. Mm-hmm. The implication from Rashi is that what? Before the Taina, then there's nothing even to talk about. Right. But once again, the machlokas is what? The machlokas is lifnei gemar din. But once you have the gemar din, then everybody agrees you're bound. It doesn't say machol etin. Sounds like anything, right? And Rabbi Yochanan again gives his ambiguous position. He says the machlokas is after the gemar din. But now we don't know. What does he mean by that? Does he mean it's after the Gemar Din is the Machlokas, but lifnei Gemar Din everybody agrees, you can back out? Or was he just adding on to Reish Lakish? Right? And saying, no, the Machlokas is also after the Gemar Din. Same Machlokas. And then Rava again follows suit. But this time we can't have the same answer. It's a little bit... did you catch that?
You've had that Rashi, but we didn't really get it.
So what's the question? What's the machlokas according to either one of these sides? Who are you going to take? Reish Lakish? Reish Lakish we have clear. We have a position at least. That what? That if it's after the Gemar Din, everybody agrees you're bound. The only question is before the Gemar Din. I mean, so what kind of a question is this? La'achar Gemar Din, he's saying you're definitely bound.
It's not a
Gomer HaMakni question.
Everybody agrees.
That's right. Everybody agrees he's Gomer HaMakni. So what is the question? Let's just lay it out like this. In other words, let's take that you can back out before the Gemar Din. Okay? Let's take that position. Is that the position here? The Machlokas is Lifnei Gemar Din, right?
Yeah.
So let's take Rabbi Meir Lifnei Gemar Din, right? So Rabbi Meir, it's always easy to take the guy that has something different in him. Mm-hmm. So he's saying before the Gemar Din you can back out, and after the Gemar Din you're stuck. So what does that mean to say that you're stuck after the Gemar Din? So that must mean that the Gemar Din is a Kenyan, right? Like, yeah. We were saying on the last side. That once the Gemar Din comes down, that's like the Maisa Kinyan to the other guy. So, the point I'm trying to make is like this. When can you not back out? When can you not back out? Let me ask you a general question. I was trying to use this as a way of getting to it, but let me just ask you a general question. What? At what point would you say you can't back out of a deal?
Once it's yours.
Once the keying takes place, right? Once the keying takes place, it would seem. Once the keying takes place. So, that's one way to look at it. That we're saying like this. When we agree, so we're agreeing that the gemir, that the psak din will be the kinyan. That's what we're agreeing to. And that we can set up right now. And we can define it right now. But before that kinyan takes place, we can back out. Of course, once the kinyan takes place, it's over. But that's not... So that's Reb Meir. Everybody agrees. This is not a problem of defining. It's not like the first way of going mochel versus etin. It's not a problem of defining the psak as a maisa kinyan. Hold on. Hello? Okay, so if you're going to say etin lecha... Right, so in other words, so that's the way to go with Reb Meir. There's no problem with making the psak din a maisa kinyan. The only thing is, you can always back out until you do the kinyan, like any type of deal. We even hold, for instance, by Mecca Chumemka, right? If I buy buying and selling something, if I go to you and I want to buy your cup, and I give you $5 for the cup, according to one sheet in the Gemara, we say Mos or Nakonos. And I can say I don't want to give you the cup, or I can tell you I changed my mind, I don't want to buy the cup, give me back my money. So until actually the cup is transferred, that's the ikar. Mm-hmm. You have to isolate what is the actual kinyan. So if we hold, for instance, we hold really midaraisa mashicha is kona. Mashicha, we hold most is kona. Whatever it is. There's a sheet in the Gemara that says Mashiach is really what's Kona. So if Mashiach is really what transfers the object to my Rishus, even though I give you the money, well, we can back out. Because the Kinyan, that's all just part of the Gemir's Das. But that's not the Kinyan part. So until the Kinyan part takes place, you can always back out. You're considered a very bad guy for doing that by the money case. But technically, you can back out. So too over here. All of this is all we're just defining, and this is our das, and that will be the transfer. So until the transfer takes place, you can back out. The trickier side is to say that once the proceedings start, then you're locked in. But it seems it has to follow the regular pattern of when you're locked into something. So as Matt is trying to say, that once they define once they say that the outcome of this process will be the kinyan, so the question is, when the process starts, is that already like partaking of that kinyan element? And then it's too late to back out. I can't define it, but my intuition is more than what you're saying, that if they accept it, that Rish Lakish is saying the argument really is even further. It's going further, it's beyond what we were saying last time. Something we mentioned as a possibility, but Rish Lakish is saying that they have, that the Akinyan is not that the outcome will be the determinant, but the Akinyan is really that the process, they're going to accept the process itself as din. So the rule is the same, that when the entity that you have agreed, so now the beginning of the process itself is like the end of the Gemira's Das. In other words, according to Reish Lakish, when can you not back out? It's not really the kinyan itself. It's not the transfer of the rishus that prevents you from backing out. As we said before, if I tell you I want to give you this, or I tell you I want to buy that, you can always back out until the meshicha, until the money is actually, until the property is actually transferred. But Reish Lakish holds, it's not because the deed was done.
It's not because the transfer was made that you can't back out. That's not the reason. What's the reason why you can't back out? Because that which your Gemar Din was about came to be. In other words, once your Gemar Din has found its object, then the deal is complete. So over here, the Gemar Das. Once your Gemiras Das was toface something real. The thing is like this: it's not the fact that the transfer was done that makes it undoable. It's that you're no longer in the stage of deciding. How long are you in the stage of deciding? Until what we decided upon has begun. So if it's a simple question of I decide to transfer my object to you, so then until the transfer takes place, we're still in the deciding thing. We're still in the deciding phase. But Reish Lakish says, no, this deal is a very unique kind of a deal. The deal is that we decide that this process will be our din. Once the process has begun, now I'm already found the fulfillment of our Gemar Din. You understand? And once you've moved out of the Gemiras Das, we fulfilled the Gemiras Das. Once the Gemiras Das has been fulfilled, then there's no backing out. I think that's generally a true statement. I think really what they're arguing about is whether you are accepting this process as din or whether we're accepting the outcome as din. You know what I mean? Can you go so far as to validate the whole process? That's what Reish Lakish is saying. That's really what they're arguing about. They're arguing about, can you say that we're signing up to the result because we know how it's going to come about and we really agree to it? But basically, there's no reality. There's no halachic reality to all the deliberations and all the proceedings and everything in terms of your Gemiras Das. Gemiras Das is the result. Reish Lakish is no. The result, that's a no-brainer. Everybody agrees that you can be bound to that, to a result. That's a predictable Dover Mesuyam, whatever, all those stories they have. The question is, can you really elevate this process to an entity itself and say that once the thing started, now your Gemiras Das has found its conclusion? But the universally held proposition is, you can't back out when your Gemiras Das has been completed. But is it a Gemiras Das on a process? That's the question. Or a Gemiras Das just on a particular outcome? So nafkamina will be, once the process started, can you back out? If it's on the process itself, you can't back out. You already signed up. If it's on the outcome, then until Gemar Din, you can always back out.
You'd be saying the Din is valid Din?
You're saying,
like, it's a real din.
Like it's a real din.
Like it's a real
din. Even though there's a psul. Like, I'm not...
Yes. Like, we're machshir this whole... We're going to accept this proceeding as the fulfillment of our obligation of din. We're going to accept the proceeding as the fulfillment of our obligation of din. Okay. All right, so the only last thing is... this is really the only new idea, I think. I think the rest is just working it out. But the psak is interesting. We hold like Rabbi Yochanan and both. That's what the Gemara says. Alright, so we'll just take a quick look at that tomorrow.